Amen. Good to be saved tonight, isn't it? Amen. Praise God. I've got a young man with me tonight. He's one of the members of our church, he and his wife, and he's worked a lot of youth meetings with me across the country. We've been doing a lot together for several years. God's given the privilege now that he's come and is a member of Calvary and does a great job for us and helps us. He kind of does a whole lot of instruments. He plays a fiddle, he plays harmonicas, he plays piano, he plays guitar, and he does a fairly decent job singing. And I asked him when he come down tonight, he drove me down, was nice enough to help me some. I've been 5 out of 6 weeks on the road, and he's kind enough to do that. And I asked Brother Don if it'd be okay right before I preach if he'd sing a song. I won't preach long. I may preach long, but I'll try not to preach long. But I want Brother Jimmy to sing something for you right before I preach, and I trust it'll be a blessing. I asked the pastor if it's okay. I won't do anything the preacher doesn't want me to do. And he said it was all right. Brother Don said it was all right. So Brother Jimmy's going to sing for you then right before I preach. Preach and I bring the message, all right? Amen.
Amen. Is this thing on? If you love Jesus, say amen tonight. Amen. Praise God. I think you meant it. Praise God. This song, let me make sure this thing's right here. This thing transposed, sister? I don't want me singing in the treetops tonight. All right. I don't like to talk much before I sing, but just a brief word of testimony. I'm glad I'm saved. I wasn't raised in church most of my childhood. My daddy was a drunk, and I was age 11. The doctors told us our mother had a serious mental illness, probably one of the poorest families in our little neighborhood. Didn't know anything about the Lord Jesus. Long story short, God sent a little country preacher by our house one day and asked my dad for permission to take me and my two brothers to church. And we started learning about this man called Jesus. We started learning what he did on the cross of Calvary and how he came to set us free from the bondage of sin. To make a long story short, I can give an hour on my testimony, but on September 9th, 1990, I got saved by the grace of God. Me and my two brothers, all on the same day. And prayed for my dad. A year later, my dad was going down the road in a Ford pickup truck. The Holy Spirit got a hold of him, and God just arrested his soul, and he gave his heart to Christ. And my dad, I tell you how God has worked in our family. He used to hate the black man, but you know what God did? He put a love in his heart to go to Africa. He's been there at least 25 times now, telling those folk that Jesus loves them. And this is kind of my testimony song. It's about three songs combined just into one medley. But I hope it blesses you tonight. And I promise you, church, if you amen or say hallelujah, I'll sing better. So it'll make me feel like I'm doing better, too. But I hope this is a blessing to you tonight. Listen to the words of this song. When I think of how Jesus came so far from glory, he came and he dwelt among the lowly such as I, to suffer shame and such disgrace. On Mount Calvary he took my place. Then I asked myself this question, who am I? Oh, who am I that this king, hey, not just the king, but the King of Kings, would bleed and die for? Who am I that he would say, not my will, but thine, Lord? Oh, the answer I may never know, why he would ever love me so, that to an old rugged cross he would go. For who am I? I like the words of Brother Squire Parsons when he said this. Oh, but he came to me. Yes, Jesus came to me. Church, when I could not come to where Jesus was, I'm glad he sent that country preacher by my house. He asked my dad if we could go to church. Amen. And that's why he died. raise your hands and sing, oh, what a Savior. Aren't you glad tonight? Oh, he gave his life's blood. Yes, Jesus gave his life's blood for me.
Thank you, Brother Jimmy. Take your Bible tonight, John chapter number 11, please. John chapter number 11 tonight. Amen. Every church service we leave, I don't think it's necessary to leave and say, what a singer. I don't think it's necessary to leave and say, what a preacher. I don't think it's necessary to leave and say, what a church. But I'll tell you this, every time we leave, somebody better say, what a Savior. Amen. He's what it's all about. And we need to glorify and magnify Him. Let's stand together tonight, John chapter number 11. It's a joy to be back with you at Morningstar Baptist Church. I always enjoy coming this way, and a real blessing to be here. And I trust that God will give us something this week to be a blessing and a help. And listen, I love to see God stir revival. I really would. And we're excited about what God's doing on White's Mill Road in Statesville, North Carolina. You'd be much in prayer for us. I've really never seen it on the fashion that we're seeing it now. So you pray that God will continue to work and continue to move. I was trying to do a baptism service last night, right in the middle of the baptism service. The girl was getting baptized. Mama fell under conviction on the first row. And she come down and got saved. I was baptizing the boy's mama who just got saved when he got saved. And then a boy in the back had got out of church for years. He got tore up, and he come down, got back right with God, and got in church. Then a lady in the back just got out of a mental institution, thought she couldn't make it no more, found out Jesus could even help her, and she come down, she got right. And so about that time, buddy, I was just about ready to take myself a lap. Amen? So I appreciate what God's doing. I thank God for what He's doing, and I'm looking forward to seeing it. But I do realize tonight that even though God's doing a lot of things, the devil's still trying to stop it. I promise you, if you're doing anything for God, I promise you this, the devil will do everything he can to try to stop it. He'll try to mess things up, but I'm glad greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. John chapter 11 tonight, verse number 30. The Bible says, now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in that place where Martha met him. The Jews then, which were with her in the house, and comforted her when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, she goeth under the grave to weep there. Brother Tom, will you get me a little water, please? Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died. Now understand, she's right in what she's saying. Because you find out it's hard to die in the presence of God. Amen. You can't die in the presence. Matter of fact, Jesus didn't even die until he said it was finished. Nobody killed him. He gave up the ghost. Amen. The Bible says, when Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, where have you laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. And Jesus wept. Now, a lot of people have got many reasons why the Lord wept. Thank you, Brother Tommy. But I want to say today that I know there are several, but I believe that he loved Martha and Mary. And I also believe that he was a little disappointed in the people's faith of that day. Whether or not, I just know this, it was an easy verse to memorize. Verse 36, then said the Jews, behold, how he loved him. And some of them said, could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died? Jesus, therefore, again groaning in himself, coming to the grave, it was a cave and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh. For he had been dead 4 days. Jesus said to her, said I not unto thee, that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always because of the people which stand by. I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, loose him and let him go. There's a phrase that I'm interested in that I've read tonight. And I want to, by the help of God, to preach on this phrase. Now sometimes the Lord gives me things a little different. And maybe tonight this is a little different for you, but I want you to stay with me tonight and look back at a verse if you would. I want you to look at the reply of Martha to Mary, to Jesus after he says, roll away the stone. Now understand, Jesus has been dead 4 days. They are coming there that day with professional mourners. In that day, the Jews would have people come and they would literally weep out with the people, and they didn't even know the person they were crying for. It was kind of like a ritual they did. But Martha knew that his body had been in that grave 4 days. And when Jesus said, roll away the stone, she makes a statement. She said, Lord, surely by now he stinketh. I want to preach with the help of God tonight on don't let the stink stop you. Let's bow together and pray. Father, we thank you tonight for the precious word of God. Thank you tonight for what our hearts have felt. Thank you for the Spirit of God tonight, the good singing. Now, Lord Jesus, I pray that you would intervene in the preaching. Lord, it's vain unless you do it. So God, I pray you'd have your way tonight. Lord, I pray you'd stir us. God, give me what you'd have me to preach. I'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name, all God's people said, you be seated tonight. What an interesting statement that Martha made to the Lord Jesus Christ. She said, Lord, for 4 days he's been laying here. And surely by now he stinketh. Lord, there is no doubt that his body's going to stink. He's been dead and he's been there in the grave. And Jesus standing there calls Lazarus out of that grave. When I was thinking about this passage in the Word of God, it would be wonderful if all of our Christian life was upon the mountaintop. It would be wonderful if we never fought the devil. It would be wonderful if all of our life serving God was joy and happiness. But let's be honest tonight. All of us realize that if we serve God long enough, the devil somewhere is going to try to knock our shout out, and somewhere is going to try to come against us. And understand tonight, the devil is going to fight us in any way he can. Now here in the Bible, I've read this passage. Martha and Mary are weeping. Their brothers died. Surely by the statement that Mary made, they wondered why he delayed his coming.
They knew that Jesus loved Lazarus, and they knew that Jesus loved them. But they're wondering, why would he delay his coming? Why did he not come? Matter of fact, Mary even said to him, Lord, if you'd have been here, he would not have died. She knew that he had the power in order to heal his body. But yet here now they are, brokenhearted, and life stinks. I mean, their brother's dead, they're weeping, they're joy is not there. They're sad, and the stink has stopped them. And they said, Lord, don't bother. He's been dead 4 days. You're running a little behind. But let me say something real quick tonight. God ain't never run behind. Jesus is always on time. I want you to understand, without a shadow of a doubt, he was right on time, on the spot, without a shadow of a doubt. God was on time. But Martha says, Lord, he stinketh. You know what Martha was doing? She was letting the stink stop her. I've been in this now 25 years, pastoring Baptist churches. Been a whole lot of things that stink. Don't you look at me like that. You know exactly what I'm talking about. How many times in your Christian life has something come up in your life and you said, man, that stinks? Or something else come in your life and you said, man, that stinks? Huh? I grew up on a chicken farm, and right down from my dad's chicken farm was hog pens. And listen, I don't know if anything stinks worse, but I'm telling you, a hog pen can really stink. But you know what I found out? Once that hog is deceased and he's put in a frying pan that's called bacon, I get past the stink. Amen? I like it then. Isn't it amazing it can smell that much better once you put a little grease on it and get in the pan? Amen? Hey, can I tell you something tonight? Your Christian life is not always going to be on the mountain. You're not always going to be shouting. There are going to come things that stink sometime. And if you'll get past it and let God do something in your life, there ain't no telling what God can do, and he can raise the very dead things of your life. Amen. Oh, it's amazing to me how many times you're out visiting someone. You knock on the door and you say, I'm Pastor Chris Hazel, or whatever your name is, you're on visitation, and you're out there, and you'll say, do you go to church? Well, I used to go. Boy, I used to go to church. I used to go down so-and-so, and they tell you where they used to go. And you say, well, why don't you go anymore? Well, just to be honest, preacher, I don't want to offend you, but man, somebody down there, you know, said something and hurt my wife's feelings, and we ain't been back, or we had a problem, I lost my job, or we went through some trials here or there, and we haven't been back in a long time. And I don't know, preacher, you know what they've done? They've let the stink stop them. Hey, I made up my mind a long time ago. Hey, I want you to understand, God called me to preach when I was 17. I started pastoring when I was 20. First church almost 15 years. Almost 80 at the one I'm at now. And I want you to understand something right now. There have been a lot of times on a Sunday night, I've tossed my Bible down and I said, God, I'm sick of this mess. I'm tired of folk not wanting to listen. I'm tired of people not wanting to do right. And I go to bed at night, but hallelujah, the next morning, things are smelling a whole lot better. I get up and say, God, I think I'll go on. I decided I'm not going to let the stink stop me from being what God wants me to be. You got to make up your mind in your Christian life. You're going to get past the stink. Amen. There are going to be some things sometime you're going to say, man, that stinks. Don't lose a job. Have somebody hurt your feelings. You're going to go through something in your life and you can say, man, I'm telling you, that really stinks. And the only way you're going to keep on serving God is get past it. The only way you're going to keep on serving God is just go on. When Brother Jimmy and his wife came up to our church and joined Calvary, they'd been in a place for a while where God really wasn't moving and folk weren't getting saved. They'd been there and God had burned them a good while about coming, but Calvary's a little ways away from their house. And then they come up and they've been coming a good while and they joined. He said, preacher, I don't know what in the world happened. He said, when we joined that church, the devil's fought us tooth and nail ever since we joined it. And he said, I almost called you the other day. He said, preacher, I don't know what in the world to do. If he'd have called me, I'd have got plumbing sight. And you say, why? Let me tell you something right now. If the devil's not fighting you, you're not doing anything. If the devil's not upset, you're not doing anything. And he'll try to make it stink. But you know what I'm glad of? I'm glad the Bible refers to my Savior as a rose of Sharon. I'm glad there is a fragrance. I'm glad, thank God, in the middle of it all, when you think everything stinks, I'm glad there's a rose in the middle of the desert. I'm glad there's a sweet fragrance of a holy God in the middle of the desert. And I'm glad, thank God, He'd make the bitter things sweet and the stinking things smell good. Amen. Hallelujah. But there are some of you in this building tonight who've lost your shout. There's some of you in this building tonight said, preacher, I'm still going to church, but it don't feel like it used to. Hey, that's why we have revival. Amen. That's why we have revival. Hey, I'm going to promise you this. I'm not always on the mountaintop. I want to be, but sometimes my wife has to preach to me. Amen. I didn't say God called her, but she still preaches. Amen. When? At home to me. Boy, I'll come in, you know, and maybe this went wrong or that went wrong, and I'm sitting there kind of feeling sorry for myself and sitting there and things are stinking a little bit. And she'll say, what's wrong with you? I said, well, I'm just a little down. She'll say, why? I said, well, you know, she said, Chris, you get in that pulpit and preach that stuff all the time, and then you're going to lay around here and act like you're going to throw in the towel because you had a bad day. She said, I believe that'd be a hypocrite, wouldn't it? I'd say, honey, why don't you just be quiet and go to bed? Amen. I want to feel, hey, I want to enjoy the stink a little while. Then she'll look at me, Brother Don, and I hate this. She'll say, I'm just telling you what you preach. I said, baby, that's just preaching. Amen. Well, let's be honest. How many times in your life have you made a statement, man, that stinks? You probably did when the last president was elected. Amen. Right? Boy, we're finding out right now how bad it stinks. That's exactly right. You're finding out right now what it's all about. Amen. But can I say this tonight? Praise God, it's smelling pretty good on my house. You know why? Because I'm not dependent on him. I'm not dependent on Nancy Pelosi. Hallelujah. My hope is built on nothing less but Jesus' blood and righteousness. I want you to picture this tonight. Martha's there. Jesus comes up. Stone's at the grave. He said, roll away the stone. Lord, in 4 days, surely by now he stinketh. Martha, you got to get past the stink. Huh? You know what the stink will stop you from seeing? Stink will stop you from doing. The stink will stop you from doing the will of God. You listen to me. The stink will stop you from doing the will of God. You say, preacher, wait a minute. Are you telling me that I could not do God's will if I let the stink get in the way? That's exactly what I'm telling you. What did Jesus say to Martha? He said, roll away the stone. Who was that saying that to Martha? It was Jesus. Who was Jesus? He's God. And God said, roll away the stone. And honey, God said, roll away the stone. You better roll away the stone because that's the will of God. What if Martha hadn't have done the will of God because of the stink? What if Martha would have said, you know what? I'm not going to roll that stone away because I know it's... I don't care what Jesus says. He's stinking by now. I'm not, Lord, I love you. Lord, I appreciate you. I'm glad you came. I hate you 4 days after he died, but I'm glad you're here. But Lord, I'm not going to get him to roll that stone away because you know, Lord, he's stinking by now. Hey, she'd have missed the will of God. If she hadn't listened to him, she'd have missed the will of God. I wonder how many people in their Christian life, how many people in their life have let some stinking situation come along instead of doing what God told them to do. They didn't listen to God and they let the stink stop them from doing the will of God. Are you listening tonight? Amen. Yeah, these men of God tonight know what I'm talking about. Boy, God put something in your heart to do. God tells you this is the direction I want you to go. God tells you to do this. And boy, you know it's the will of God. And when you step out and get ready to do it, all of a sudden something will rise up against you. All of a sudden somebody may not like it. All of a sudden say, hey, listen, back when I was a young preacher, and I'm not young anymore, hallelujah. And I'll be honest with you, I'm enjoying being in my 40s. I like it. I know I wouldn't want to go back to 20, 30s or be it. I love it. I'm enjoying getting older. You know why I'm enjoying it? I told the church the other night. I said, because if you do stuff and it's good, they'll say something, well, that's pretty good for an older guy. But then if you do something that's bad, they don't feel bad. They say, well, he's older anyway. Amen. I mean, praise God, you ain't got to perform at all. Hallelujah. I just have yourself a time. But I want you to watch this and understand it. Hey, I'll just get to this. If you're doing the will of God. Back when I was a young preacher, I was preaching on the radio in Greensboro, North Carolina. I was about 20 years old. Son, I had that little room out there. That thing couldn't have been no more than about 4x8, 4x6. They had a little microphone there. I was spitting on the window, spitting on the microphone, hollering and screaming and preaching, man, having myself a time. People were calling in. We was having a good time. Then I got a phone call. I got a phone call from a pastor. He listened to the radio station, Brother Tommy. And he called me, and he said, Brother Chris, I've been listening to you on the radio. Now, you ever had somebody say something to you, but you knew a butt was coming? Huh? Like, I love your butt. I love my preacher butt. You know, I call that Billy Groat religion. I love my preacher butt. I love that church butt. I love your butt. And I knew it was coming. And he said, Brother Chris, that's good stuff. I was 20 years old at Church of Passion Friendship at that time, and it was beginning to grow, and God was beginning to bless in spite of the fact that I was a novice, and I believe I should have waited a little while. Lord, have mercy. I killed some sheep right off the bat. But I want you to watch this and understand. He said, son, I want to tell you that's good preaching. I appreciate you preaching like that, but I knew a butt was coming. And you got to understand now, I'm 20 years old. This is 25 years ago. 25 years ago. And I said, he said, but son, I want you to know this. I want you to know if you keep preaching like that, you can't build a church in this day. He said, people don't like that kind of preaching. That's 25 years ago. He said, people don't like that kind of preaching anymore. You know what? That stunk, man. I mean, here I am, a young preacher, trying to preach my heart out, and some seasoned man of God is calling me and saying to me, it'll never work. But you know what? I got off the phone, and I went back to preaching, and hallelujah, I'm glad I ain't stopped in 25 years. I want to say it works, it works, it works. Hallelujah, stay with the stuff, it works. You can't let the stink stop you from doing the will of God. Huh? If you let it, it'll stop you. Yeah, you go and try to do something for God and watch the devil stink something up. Oh, yeah, he'll try to stop you. Dear sister, been on the mission field 40 years. This man of God been pastoring about 40 years as well. Brother Turner down there pastoring his church. Brother Jimmy up here singing for us. Hey, listen, I can go on and on. Brother Brackens, you can go on and on. How many times in your life something stunk and the devil got on your back in the midnight hour and said, it don't matter, you ain't getting nothing done. But hallelujah, guess what? The devil's not omniscient. The devil's not omnipotent. I'm glad I serve a God. And if he said, roll away the stone, hallelujah, let's roll away the stone and not let the stink stop us from doing the will of God. Jesus rose from the dead. Peter all of a sudden said, well, that ministry stuff's over. I go fishing. I preached last night. I had that passage in my church. And I preached a message last night. I probably shouldn't tell you. I don't know if I'm going to preach it again, but I preached it last night, and I talked about, what did I title that last night? The power of persuasion. He said, I go a-fishing. They said, we go with thee. God done called them from being fishermen of fish. God called them to be fishermen of men. So they get out there fishing, and they toll all night and catch nothing. That stinks. I said, that stinks. I don't even like fishing in that sense. I don't have the patience for fishing. Hey, man, I can't do it. I told you before, but several years ago, had some boys in my church got saved. Two of them were professional bass fishermen. And they got saved. I mean professional. I'm talking about they had the boat, the shirt, the whole nine yards, you know. They're going to take me fishing. I said, boys, I don't fish. I ride motorcycles fast. I don't have the patience to fish. They said, preacher, you'll enjoy going fishing with us. I said, no, I won't. But I said, I'll go. So I went to Food Lion. I got me a bag of M&M's. I have now switched to almond M&M's, but I got M&M's. And I got me some Diet Mountain Dew and a bag of Doritos. And I put that bag in the boat because I figured I was going to get bored to death. We get down there, man, and I look at that boat, and that boat looks nice, you know. And I get inside of it, and the next thing I know, he pushes that lever forward. That boat thing, it stood straight up in the air. And before I knew it, man, I thought we running 500 mile an hour across that lake. I looked at him, I said, man, I like fishing. Hey, man. I said, hallelujah. You know, you're a motorcycle racer. You're thinking, hallelujah. I love fishing. You know what he did, Brother Brackens? Wasn't long, he pulled the lever back. Ooh. And then he took out some little motor about this long. Stuck it on the back. I said, what's that? He said, preacher, that's a trolling motor. I said, how fast it go? He said, preacher, you don't want it to go fast. I said, oh. They gave me a fishing pole, rod, excuse me, graphite, all that, you know. I threw it out there, reeled it in, nothing. I laid it down, got my M&Ms out. I said, boys, when y'all ready to go fishing on that boat back to the pier, I'm ready. Amen. Hallelujah. Hey, can I tell you this? I mean, but people to fish got to have good patience. Imagine fishing all night and you're a professional. All night long, but you're a professional. You've caught nothing. Then somebody who is a carpenter's son, though you know him to be the Son of God, comes out and, children, have you any meat? Now, you know Peter, man, by now it's stinking out there, buddy. He's mad. He don't like it. I've been fishing all night. I ain't caught a thing. Then Jesus said to him, cast the net on the other side of the boat. Now, you can see Peter. I've been doing this all my life. I done cast that net on both sides. I didn't catch that net in the front and the back. There ain't no fish, man. Nevertheless, at thy word, this stinks, but if you want me to do it. What Peter didn't realize is this man talked to the fish. Jesus come out there probably before he ever got there. He said, hey, fish, when I'll take you to get in the net. Right? I mean, they were just a little ways away from the perfect field of fish, so much that it about sunk their boats and the nets began to break. Why? Because they were letting the steam stop them. What if Peter said, Lord, I've done that all night. I, you know. Don't let the steam stop you from doing the will of God. Some of y'all know exactly what I'm talking about tonight. There have been things come up in your life, and you've let it rob you of your joy. You've let it stop you from doing what God wants you to do. You've let the devil rob you of doing the will of God. I'm going to tell you right now, buddy, sometimes things stink. I'm telling you. It really does. Don't let the stink stop you from doing the will of God. Secondly, watch this. Don't let the stink stop you from seeing the wonders of God. Some of y'all was down in Spartanburg when I had Timmy with me. Little boy, my church got cancer, had cancer. And terminal, 6 months to live, terminal. And we prayed over that boy a year or so ago. God burned in my heart that God had healed him. I had no question God had healed him. I knew God had healed him. Then that cancer come back and his mom and daddy's weeping in my house. The doctor said 6 months and it's over. Two tumors the size of golf balls. They're pushing against his lungs. It's over. That stunk, man. You know what the devil did? Devil jumped all over my case. You done stood up in front of that church. You done told that church God healed that boy. And now look at here. He ain't got but 6 months to live. Where's your shout now? Put your heart in the willow tree, buddy. You're done playing. Son, I ain't had nothing Brother Don hit me like that in a long time. Then all of a sudden I got to thinking, if I let that stop me and quit praying for him, if we stop praying for him, it's over. Some of you know that story. Well, that little boy started getting a hold of God, 14 years old. Churches started getting a hold of God. I had a good friend of mine was doing a tour over in the Holy Land, and they happened to be in the Garden of Gethsemane that day, and we got word to them, and they got a bunch of men of God in the Garden of Gethsemane, and they got to praying for him right there in the Garden of Gethsemane. He goes down for the x-rays to find out how much is pushing against his lungs. The lady begins to tremble, asked him his name four times, said, "Son, are you sure your name's Timmy Belcher?" He said, "Yes, ma'am, I'm sure. Yes, ma'am, I'm sure." And they said, "Well, wait a minute." Brought another lady in. He said, "Preacher, they turned me like a pancake. Are you sure your name's Timmy Belcher?" "Yes, ma'am, my name's Timmy Belcher." "Wait a minute." They go out and get a doctor. By that time, people are nervous, don't know what to do. I want you to watch this. Hey, come back in and said, "Sir, I don't know what's happened, but you don't even have a cell in your body that has cancer at all. It's all gone. It's all gone." But I want you to watch this. Timmy Belcher, 14 years old, looked at the nurse, and here's what he said: "About what I expected." Amen. Why some people done threw in the towel? Why his own preacher about done threw in the towel? Well, I thought, man, it's over. That 14-year-old boy didn't let the stink stop him. That 14-year-old boy made up his mind. As long as there's a God in heaven, he can do anything. Amen. Don't let the stink stop you from doing the will of God. Don't let the stink stop you from seeing the wonders of God. Preachers, let me tell you something. If you're here tonight, I'm 45 years old, 46, excuse me. Just turned that last Saturday. Was that Saturday y'all down there? I think it was about right. 46 years old. I still feel like I'm a fairly young man, even though I've been beat up pretty hard with my own stupidity. Motorcycle. But don't you listen to me. Been a many a time I've seen God do things that blow your mind. Boy, I've seen before the devil try to stop me. Devil try to say, "Don't try to launch out that far." Devil try to say, "Hey, don't worry about no fish, they ain't in this lake." Devil trying to say to me, "Don't go any, don't roll away that stone." But I stay with God, not because I'm some super spiritual, but I didn't have nowhere else to go. And I stayed with God, and I held my nose, and I said, "I ain't going to let the stink stop me." And guess what? I found out somewhere standing in the shadows, there was God. He was there all the time, and He started working wonders in my life. You walk in here tonight and you say, "Oh, this stinks. This stinks." You just throw in the towel. You're going to miss the will of God. You're going to miss the wonders of God. You can't do it, buddy. Hey, can I tell you something right now, Brother Brackett? I mean this. In the day we're living in, churches like this, preachers like Brother Turner, like you guys here, let me tell you something. In days we're living in today, it's not popular stuff. People don't like this for the most part. They think we're a bunch of lunatics. Huh? That whole crowd in D.C. and all the liberals around here trying their best to silence people like us. Trying to put us all in a mold. Trying to make it stink, amen? Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you understand what I'm saying? The devil trying to stink it up. But you know what? I've decided, Brother Kerrigan, I'm too far to turn back now. Hallelujah. I'm too far down the road. Hey, I still believe God's able. I still believe God can. And sometime, though it stinks, hallelujah, I think I'll just go with God. If I mess that up, I'll buy you another one. All right? Think I'll just go with God. You understand what I'm saying tonight? The stink will stop you from seeing the wonders of God. It'll stop you from seeing, from doing the way or the will of God. It'll stop you. And the devil's going to put some stinking stuff in front of your life. I'm going to quit right here. I got one more thing. But listen to me. There's some of you here tonight, this is revival. And there's some of you here tonight been through something in your life recently. And it stinks. You know what the devil's done? He's trying his best to get your joy from you. Because here's the deal. He can't get you salvation, Brother Don. If you're saved born again, buddy, your name's in the last book of life. It's ours to seal to the day of redemption. But don't you watch. If he can get you joy, he can get you out of here. If he can get you joy, he can get you away Well, you ain't making no difference for God. Don't let the stink stop you. I preached this message and a lady come by me at the door. She said, Brother Hazel. I said, yes, ma'am. She said, I want to thank you for that stinking message. She said, preacher, she said, I've been letting some stinking things stop me from doing God's will. She said, God showed me what I need to do. Huh? I got a little girl in my church. She's not a little girl. She's a woman. Much younger than I am, but she kept herself pure all her life. Pure. Never even held a boy's hand, man. Just pure. Pure as a driven snow. Kept herself right with God. Somebody introduced her to a so-called preacher, a young boy called Preach. This girl kept herself pure. Kept herself right. Ended up believing this was the will of God for her life to marry this boy. My wife and I, I had just come to that church and we just did something that just seemed uneasy about it, you know, but we didn't know. And anyway, she ended up marrying him. Come find out, he had a secret life. That little girl kept herself pure. She always wanted to marry a preacher, wanted to be a preacher's wife, serve God. He ended up being a sneaking pervert. Sodomite. You listen to me. I had a district judge, call me in his office at a hearing for that child that they have. And he said, preacher, he called me back in his chambers. He said, preacher, I can't do what I want to do today. He said, would you pray for me? He said, because if I could do what I want to do that boy, I would do it. He said, but the law won't let me do it. He said, you pray for me. I watched that little girl weep. Her whole world destroyed. You imagine that. Come find out that little rascal been with about 15 different men. Some while he was married to her. She had to go be checked for AIDS. Do you listen to me? She had kept herself pure. She had kept herself right. She had kept herself holy. That stinks. I watched her countenance fail. She's one of the best piano players you'll ever hear. I watched buddies, her mom and her dad got so knocked down, the joy just got completely knocked out of their life. The one thing they never did, they never quit. They keep on coming, and many times her head would be down and tears would be dripping off her cheek onto the floor. And I've seen the carpet pool wet about this big where she'd weep on the altar. But she didn't quit. Didn't quit. It wasn't long after that one Sunday I saw her step out and get past the stink. She can't be a preacher's wife now because she's been divorced. That joker's gone on with his life. And I don't say this often, but I'm glad he's gone on with his life. And that little girl can't never be what she wanted to be one day. But I've learned something. She started back playing that piano for groups in that church. She started singing in a group in that church. And God started touching her life again. You know what she did? She rolled away the stone. She said, Lord, I ain't gonna let the stink stop me. I'm gonna serve God. I'm gonna be something for God. I don't have time tonight, and I don't want to be lengthy, and I know you got to get home. Don't you listen? I read a 5-page testimony riding to a meeting in Atlanta, Georgia last week. My wife was reading it to me riding down the road from a lady that goes to our church. 5-page testimony, Brother Turner. Beaten to the point of death by her first husband. Got married again. Why she got married again, I'll never know. Got married again. This man beat her, put 2 bullet holes in the bed beside of her, tried to kill her one night when he's drunk. Just missed in drunken stupor. Went through mental breakdowns, nervous breakdowns, went through stuff. She was molested as a child by her own brother. Stinks. I'm going to make a statement to blow your mind. She's one of the godliest women I pastor. You say, wait a minute, preacher. Beaten by one man, shot at by another, molested as a child, and she's one of the most spiritual people you pastor? Yeah. And you know why? Because she got past the stink and made up her mind she wasn't going to let it stop her from being something for God. I'll give you this and I'm done. I'll give you this and I'm done. Don't let the stink stop you from seeing the way to God. Say, how you know that, preacher? Listen to this verse. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did, believed on Him. Let me tell you what's going to happen if you let the stink stop you. Somebody ain't going to get to Jesus. Because you're instrumental in somebody getting Jesus, and you let the stink stop you from doing what God wants you to do, somebody might miss out. Amen. Who's this dear lady? I didn't see a while ago. She's been a missionary all evening serving the Lord. Is that you, ma'am? I guarantee 40 years, I guarantee you there have been some times it just stunk. But you kept on. Somebody else got help. Somebody else got saved. Somebody else got in. Preacher, how many times in all the years you've been in this have you come home someday and just stunk? Brother Jackson, you know what I'm talking about. And boy, you go home, you want to crawl over in a corner somewhere, and you want to say, that's it. Then you hear somebody say, roll away the stone. Just roll away the stone. I was preaching this one night and I thought about Miss Jenny and Michael and the life they've had. Michael saved out of what he's saved out of. And people still this day don't even trust the fact that God got him out of that. I like that boy. I really do. That precious wife of his, man, they don't come no better. But it's been some stinking things through their life, preacher. But just keep on getting past it. Keep on going. Now you listen to me tonight. I'm done preaching. I'm done preaching. You listen to me tonight. There's somebody in this building, I guarantee it. Something recently has just stunk. I mean, it's been difficult. You fought some battles. The devil's trying to get you just to walk away. The devil's trying to rob you of your joy. But it's revival week at Morningstar. And you've made up your mind. I ain't going to let the stink stop me. I'm going to go on for God. I was talking to a preacher last night. You go ahead and stand to your feet. I was talking to a preacher last night. He said, Brother Chris, he said, how's things going? I said, man, I said, it's scary. I said, man, we've had about 30 people saved, about 30 join the church. I said, Sunday morning, we couldn't hardly get people in the building. We're just about completely maxed. Sunday night, about the same way. He said, man, what are you doing? I said, looking over my shoulder. That's right, because the devil don't like it. And he's going to try to stink it up if he can. But I got me some wolf dogs. Can I get a witness? Don't let the stink stop you. Every head bowed just a moment, place softly, sister. Every head bowed just a moment. Some already begin to make their way down the old-fashioned altar. Boy, I wrestled tonight over what God had to preach. But I feel like I'm minded of the Lord tonight. Don't you listen. If you're here tonight, there's been some things that stunk, at least recently. Things you don't understand, battles you face, hardships you've had to go through. But you'd say, preacher, I don't want to let that stink stop me from doing the will of God. I don't want to let that stink stop me from seeing them wonders God can do. Won't you slip out of that pew right now? Come down here and say, Lord, I think I'll just keep on. I think I'll roll that stone away. I think I'll cast that net on the other side of the boat. Lord, I'm just going to mind you. I'm going to do what you want me to do. I'm just going to mind you. I'm not going to let the stink stop me from doing the will of God. Just not going to let it stop me from doing the will of God. Would you mind the Lord tonight? That's what revival's all about, be honest. Revival's about God's youngest. God stirring them that joy they need. That's what it's all about. Restore to me, David said in Psalm 51, the joy of my salvation. Well, we've all had things come in our life that's held us back. We don't have to let the stigma stop us tonight. Just got to get past it. Just got to get past it. Hallelujah. May God just go on. Just go on. Preacher, you come. Just give them temptations you see fit. God help them, Jesus. I can't say tonight I understand everything that goes on. I can't do it. But I can tell you tonight I know who can get the stone out of the way. I know who can answer the prayer. I'm glad greater is He's in me than He's in the world.
What a service. A little over 48 years ago, I met a man called Jesus. When he saved me, I made a choice. I didn't know then what I know now. But when the Lord saved me, I made a commitment to Him. I made a commitment to Jesus because He made one to me. He didn't let the stink stop Him from going to the cross. And when He saved me, I said, Lord, by Your help, I'll not let the stink stop me until I get to heaven. There has been a lot of stinky stuff in these 48 years of walking with the Lord. But I'm telling you that marvelous rose of Sharon always overshadowed all that stink. I want to thank you for coming and being in the service tonight. Four more nights of this revival meeting. Four more nights. God's going to do some things this week. He said, preacher, how you know? He's already told me so. He said, if we would draw nigh unto Him, He would draw nigh unto us. And we've been trying to run just as hard as we can run toward Him as a church. So I know what He's going to do. Amen. So I want to encourage you, if you can, come and be with us as often as you can.